AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Patrick here. Now, just a little bit of a background here. Apparently, we're having a little bit of transmitter issues. We're at low power now, but I guarantee you the entire show is going to be available. We're doing the show, so we got too many things to talk about. So we'll have the show available on the website as well as on SoundCloud a little bit later on for sure if you miss it today. But we are working on those details as we speak. I'll tell you what, let's get right into Jack Rice, jackrice.net. Jack is our intelligence agency, our international expert, as well as also a lawyer and a man that loves Minneapolis, St. Paul as much as anyone. And he's kind enough to hear today to join us about and talk about the George Floyd situation as the in the protests that have been going on. Hey, Jack.
You know, it's great to be with you again, not under these circumstances, but here we go.
Well, and it's, you know, it's kind of one of those things I wish I could have had you on earlier, because this is something, first of all, your legal mind is definitely needed on this. But I want to talk a little bit, first of all, what happened last night with the burning of businesses, the looting that's going on. It seemed to have come close to you, because I'm not crazy, you put a picture online of something that had burned you found in your own yard, right?
No, oh no! It's all over South Minneapolis. I mean, I was out for a walk and I saw something sort of black in the yard, and what it was charred debris that was blown from the protesters, and so it's all over. I can see it in my yard. I can see it in the street. I can see it over by the creek. I can see it. It's everywhere, and so, you know, maybe it's appropriate. I mean, that's part of the point here, is that you realize that this is something that impacts all of us. It's at our doorstep, and it was, and it is.
Let me get your thoughts first of all about what exactly happened with the Minneapolis police and George Floyd here, because this is there's no wiggle room here. The police officer murdered Mr. Floyd as clear as day, correct?
Yeah. He did. There's no way around this. If we look at the issue, here's what we know. Again, I don't need to go back through the events, but ultimately what we have is on Monday night, we have a situation where the police have a story in place, and they do it first. What they're claiming is they're there to investigate somebody who's trying to pass a fake $20 bill, and they find a man who's near a car, but then he physically resists. This is according to the officers themselves. After they handcuff him, they notice that the man is having medical distress, and so they call an ambulance. Now, that's how they lay it out. Of course, the problem with that is that what we find that's ubiquitous is everybody has a cell phone, which means everybody has a camera, and there are multiple camera angles here that are laying out exactly what these officers did. And if we know what the law is, we know what the rules are. Even for Minneapolis police officers, the use of chokeholds have been banned since 1993. This is not something they're allowed to do regardless. Now what we have in a case like this is an officer who has him on the ground in handcuffs, face down, with his knee pressing against his neck as he's begging and crying and screaming that he can't breathe. Now, there's no way around this, and if this were 10 seconds, you might be able to say, okay, it's 10 seconds. But then it goes on to 30, and then a minute, and then two, and then three, and then five, and it goes on and on until he's unconscious. He's dead before he gets to the hospital.
Oh, he was dead. They actually released that today. And this is something that when you listen to the paramedics' calls on this, they said he was in full cardiac arrest when they got there. Now the fire department says, oh, yeah, he was dead when we put him in the ambulance. They just made it official when they got to the hospital.
Yeah, he flatlined, so he's dead before he's at the hospital. So I mean, there's a direct link. And if we think about this, and I'm again, as a former prosecutor in Minnesota, as a criminal defense attorney who's dealing with this stuff all the time, I can tell you this without hesitation, and I've talked to a lot of colleagues of mine on this issue, is that if this weren't an officer, and this were just some bystander, some civilian who had done this, that person would have been arrested that night. Monday night, they would have been arrested. They would have had the allegations on the desk of the charging officer, that's what we would call them, who's going to draft the complaint. They would draft that complaint on Tuesday. He would likely appear before a judge yesterday, where they would be setting bail, and my guess is somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million. That's what would have happened if this were a normal person. Of course, this is not normal.
No, it's not. But still, even the St. Paul police chief has come on out and said, you know, wait a minute here. This is so wrong. It's not debatable. The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, he's out there saying, I can't fathom why charges haven't been filed. What is going through Mike Freeman's head right now? Because, as you said, and this is a kind of a slam dunk case as far as a guilty verdict. You've got it here because of the murder, even with a badge. I can't quite figure out what his motivation to hold this up is.
Well, I particularly appreciate when other officers have come forward, and what the chief of police of St. Paul said yesterday, and this really did mean a lot, is he came out and he said, look, I spoke to all of my officers, the second largest police department in the state, and he said, I want you to watch this video, and if you think it's okay, you need to consider a new line of work. You should turn in your badge. And he's right. I mean, I think that is the answer. That is the question that needs to be asked in the broader sense. And of course, I think the mayor, there's some grandstanding, of course.
Yeah.
Because in the end, the mayor, he has no power really when it comes to this issue. This needs to be addressed. Well, this can either be addressed by Freeman himself. Okay. This can be addressed by the Hennepin County Attorney. Or if they're saying there's a conflict because of how closely the Hennepin County Attorney's Office works with the Minneapolis Police Department, fine. Then what you do is you conflict it out. And if you conflict it out, typically, and this is what I'm seeing in the courts, and this has happened in cases I've been involved in, that this would usually go to St. Paul. So John Choi, the Ramsey County Attorney's Office, they would handle the case. And it would probably go to Rick or a couple of other guys I know who would probably be the ones responsible for drafting the complaint in this case. And so that could be happening right now. Now, the thing is, though, is he could be arrested at any point based upon that. And, of course, we're not even mentioning the fact that the Justice Department, the Bureau, the FBI, is also investigating this. And that doesn't negate the ability of Hennepin County or Ramsey County, if it's conflicted with them, to make charges, because this can always be picked up by the feds. And the feds can come in and say, we've decided we're going to take jurisdiction of this case. And that's the nature of how the feds can step in if they so choose. Of course, at this point, nobody has chosen to do anything. So we sit around and we stare at each other.
Is Freeman, as you just said, is Freeman waiting for the FBI to bail him out?
No. Well, is he? Oh, God, yes. Of course he is. I mean, let's face it. If you think about this politically, and again, this is the problem is that this is the piece that's all guesswork, but I'm guessing that he is. Because in the end, what's the benefit to him? There will be some people who will say whatever they choose to do, it will never be enough, and so he'll lose on that side. There will be some people who will be on the side that says you need to stand behind your people, meaning your cops, so he's going to lose on that side. Either way, if the Bureau can step in, if the Department of Justice can step in and pull charges, that way his hands are as clean as they can be. But I think if we really look at the big issue here, and this is really my concern, Matt, more than anything else, and I think it's the concern of the people of the city of Minneapolis and the state, is that what I'm really afraid of is that this is going to be characterized as just a bad apple. This guy is just a bad guy. And so therefore, if we get rid of him, if we charge him, then somehow we're going to be fine. But the problem with that logic is that this isn't the first time. This has happened again and again and again and again. And it's happened in Minneapolis. It's happened in St. Paul. It's happened in cities all across America. And we keep characterizing this as bad apples when, in fact, because it's happened so many times, that there is a systemic piece to this that will guarantee that it will happen again if we don't look at this in the broader sense. Mm-hmm. Because we are responsible if we decide that this is simply an isolated incident. It can't be. The numbers tell us that simply isn't the case. But it's very convenient if we can call it that.
We have basically a police department just in the city of Minneapolis, because this doesn't happen in St. Paul, at least not with the regularity that it happens in Minneapolis. I mean, you had the one shooting of the individual that the two civilians that happened over there, when that person was arrested and they're going to be charged. and if they have, I believe they already have been charged. But they, you've got a case where the Minneapolis Police Department has a worse track record than sheriffs in the South, as far as the death of African Americans. There is an undeniable trend that's going on here, and I want to talk a little bit about this because, it clearly seems to me this is being led by Bob Kroll, the union chief, that this his mentality, this tough guy, that the cops can never be questioned, the cops are never wrong, the cops are always, we have to give them military gear, we got to give them military training, if you got to give them every bit of money you can, and if you don't, then you're anti-police. The fact that Kroll has absolutely played the Republican politicians of the state like a fiddle because they love the fact that there's a white cop that basically likes to get tough on minorities, and that plays well in the Republican district, so that he's been able to play them as a fiddle. But it's this mentality that permeates down that, that basically that the Minneapolis police feel as if they are untouchable. And the proof of that was the racist Christmas tree they put in the 4th Precinct lobby. I mean, just... it's a track record of just boneheaded, stupid racism that is either minor stuff like that, or it's stuff where you have an African American man who's dead, and the mentality. I mean, as you sort of said at the beginning of this, they had their story all ready to go, even though that there was they had their story ready to go, and they were going to try to push this through and say nothing, no blood, no foul. That was their argument was going to be until the reality hit.
Well, if we look, and I agree with what you're talking about, because if we look at this issue and we look at where we are, if this were completely isolated, if it were just this incident, horrific, my God, yes, there's no question about it. But there's a history here, and this history is part of what's driving this issue. I'm not just talking about Mr. Floyd, which is horrific. And for anybody who hasn't seen this, there's a part of me that says, don't, please, God, don't. There's the other part of me that says, you have an obligation to, because these are your cops. This is your city. This is your state. And I think that piece is important. But if we think about the history, there's a civil compact between the police, the government, and us. And that compact is they represent us. They serve us. And there has to be respect that runs both directions. And there's service, if you will, that runs both directions. But if what happens is certain segments of society are diminished, dismissed, those groups, you start to see this undercutting of the compact, and that really is part of our problem here, and it's legitimate. It's a real concern because of the history, and so when we see this happening, all we end up really getting is, yep, there it is again, there it is again. And when you have people lining up and they're trying to justify the behavior in the first place, or again, falling back on, and I'm telling you, it's coming, is that this is an isolated incident. Because remember, it's not just that bad things happen too. If you can't look beyond the humanity of this and all you see are numbers, meaning dollar signs, hundreds of millions of dollars have been dropped nationwide, and also in this city, dealing with the misdeeds of this department. And think about what that does to the compact, what that does to the people. If this is not a black problem. It's not. Unfortunately, the burden has been carried by the African-American community. That is true. But the problem is it's not a black problem. It's not an African-American problem. This is a Minnesotan problem. This is a Minneapolis problem. This is an American problem that has to be addressed by all of us collectively, because the compact is ours collectively. And we should be outraged by this. We should be. We must be.
I want to talk a little bit about the police activity of the last two nights. The first night of protests, the police really seemed frankly, out of control. They were firing wildly into crowds. There were no warnings that they were going to start firing. They were hitting journalists. As a matter of fact, it looks like at times they were targeting journalists with their aggressive tactics. And as well, I mean, there's even videos of them at point-blank range with no warning shooting people in the chest with these rubber bullets that, you know, clearly can kill someone. And, I mean, that was the first night. Last night was a very different scenario, but still, in my personal feeling, very incompetent, because there almost seemed to be this mentality coming from the police of Minneapolis: let it burn, let them loot, let them burn, then they'll come crawling back to us. Then and they know that basically what happened last night, especially in conservative areas of this state, will basically allow them to try to present the justification for George Floyd's death retroactively. And that said, see, the city's out of control, so you shouldn't get upset about the death of George Floyd, because look at these people. The reality is I almost feel as if that was by design, because I'm flabbergasted at how there was zero response when this all started going out of control.
Yeah, I see two different sets of behavior. I think about the force continuum, the force that should have been used in Mr. Floyd's case. And especially when you realize just at the end how passive he was and had to be and had no choice at that, in terms of what they did as they squeezed the life out of his eyes. So there's that piece. But when we think about the force continuum, when we look at where we are on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, and again, my house is about 12 blocks from where this took place. When we look at that, it does as if it's almost being used to say to greater Minnesota, see, this is what these officers have to face. What do you expect them to do? That seems to be the argument. Because if we think about this, there were two pieces I kept thinking about. I thought about the protection of the people who were in the streets, and the protection of the officers too, but all of them collectively, but also the protection of property and both of those things. And if you look at the behavior of the officers the first night, I didn't see their response as appropriate, because it actually exacerbated the circumstances, the situation. And then the second night, strangely enough, they sat back and did just the opposite and just let it burn. And they watched it happen. And so you combine those two, it almost feels like if it's a lack of leadership, a lack of understanding. I don't exactly know where this is, or if the chief is simply saying, I don't know where we go next. Mm-hmm. Or out of fear that if we take any moves, it's going to make it worse. So he's essentially letting go and letting it go where it goes. I don't know.
Is the police that brings up, I guess, my final question here. Is Chief Arredondo, is he in charge of the police force, or is Bob Knoll, who's in charge of the police at this point?
I have to believe it's the chief. Yeah. It should never be the Police Officers Association. That's not their job. That's not who they are. That's not elected to do the job. That's not who's paid to do the job. That's not who we've chosen sort of collectively to do the job. It has to be the chief. Mm-hmm. And of course, his or her responsibility is always critical in terms of what happens. What I'm hoping for, though, Matt, is I'm hoping that what comes next is this. And we say we're going to do this every time, and then we seem to fail to do this every time. Is we have to dig deeper to understand who it is that we target, meaning the people we recruit, the people we retain, how we train those people, how we encourage those people. Is it the callousness that comes when you're dealing with this on a daily basis and you just deteriorate as an officer? How do we address that piece? Is it the fact that there's a lack of connection between the police force itself and the community, the fact that so few officers actually live in the places where they work? Is that the problem? I mean, I think that if we don't start looking at the systemic issues that officers are dealing with and people are dealing with those officers, this is just going to be the nice excuse where we arrest one guy maybe charge one guy, maybe, put one guy in jail, maybe. And then it's going to happen again, and we're all going to wonder why. Gosh, I thought we addressed it last time. Because we said that last time, mm-hmm. and we said that the time before, and the time before that. And one family is just has to deal with burying their own. As we sit back and say, gosh, which let's talk about putting this guy in jail. This is about something much bigger than that, and it has to be.
And right now I'm not seeing the steps that we need to be taking to address this issue at any capacity. That's the scary part.
No. Yeah. No, we're not.
Nope. JackRice.net, JackRice.net. That's where you'll find all your Jack Rice needs. I'm going to post this. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Jack, your insight is very much needed. Let's have you back next week as well, if we can, all right?
Anything you need.
Thank you. Jack Rice, kind enough to join us. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than just serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable. Serving part-time lets you attend school full-time while you take advantage of education benefits that can help you graduate debt-free. If a civilian career is your goal, serving part-time allows you to work at a full-time job. The skills, qualities, and contacts you'll develop in the Guard can open doors to a great civilian career. Want to serve but worried about being away from friends and family? Part-time service in the Army National Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want while you enjoy the many benefits of serving your community and nation. You owe it to yourself to learn more about how the Army National Guard can fit into your life. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Monday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. This week's featured idealist is Dan Savage, the Love Advice columnist and founder of It Gets Better. The big interview is with Jess Braverman from Gender Justice. In my C block, I talk about lending an ear to those who are struggling and ask, what have you learned from the lockdown? Ellie 2.0 Radio, engaging and real on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, we are having a little bit of a power issue today. I don't know if you want to put in conspiracy, but ever since things happened last night, I think it's getting warmer out. So just FYI, we're working on that right now. Hopefully it is. But if you want to hear the entire show, we'll have it up on SoundCloud and the AM 950 page. And of course, you can listen to us live on TuneIn as we are going right now and listen to us live on AM 950 Radio. com. You can listen to us there, or if you'd like, you can watch the show live on Facebook. It's the Facebook streams are both up as well on the Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show page, as well as AM 950 Radio. Just two things I want to get to here before we get into our next break. First of all, I want to actually make an apology. Yesterday, I made a statement, and it was a wrong statement to make. I said that, basically, at this point, watching how the police were reacting, I would put my house on the market and get out of Minneapolis because I have lost complete faith in the police department in Minneapolis. Now, it's not like I've got faith in the police department of Minneapolis now. Of course not. As a matter of fact, I've got far more questions for them. I'll get to those in a moment. But I love this city. I do. And I think the point I was trying to make is the futility, and we talked about this with Jack, is that there seems to be a mentality from the Minneapolis police to say, how dare you question us? You just sit there and say, thank you, sir, may I have another? And when they're referring to that, they're talking about another dead African-American man. And that seems to be the mentality of this police department. My God, the stories that are coming on out of the two officers and the laundry list of complaints against them, and they were never reprimanded. They were. It doesn't seem like there was any training that went along with them. I mean, it's bizarre. Needless to say, I was wrong. I love Minneapolis. I really do. It pains me to no end to see what's going on here, to see the inevitable, the racist policies of the Minneapolis Police Department bubbling over into outrage beyond outrage in the area to where we are at the point where we're at right now. But at the same time, I was wrong. All right? I'll just say it. I was wrong. My best, everyone in Minneapolis. Keep your head down. Hopefully, things will, you know, will get better. I have a bad feeling, just judging by the lackluster response and the quizzical response that I'm seeing from the Minneapolis Police Department. I don't think it will. Now, that also being said, I did want to mention something not related to this, but it's a programming note for you. We here at AM 950, we understand graduates, there's not going to be ceremonies. We basically are handing our radio station over. No politics. Politics, we're going to put the politics aside. Our format does not matter. We're going to basically allow some school districts to have the radio station and do a broadcast where they honor their grads. Have a radio broadcast graduation ceremony, for lack of a better way to say it. We are going to be doing that this Sunday with Edina High School and next Thursday with Hopkins High School. So we feel as if there's a community service element to this. We have to help out. And really, with technology, there's not a lot of options. So just to let you know, that is what we're going to be doing. So on Sunday at 11 o'clock, I think we're going to that broadcast for Edina. And then on Thursday night next week, the night they were supposed to have their graduation ceremony, we'll do Hopkins High School here as well. So thank you very much to those schools. And if there's another school out there that would like to try to do this, you know, by all means, you're more than welcome to call the station, 952-946-8885. Julie is in Minneapolis. Julie, thanks for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Matt. Just a few brief comments. You know, as a white woman, I've lived in many areas of Minneapolis, lived and worked, and for me it's been an economic class thing. I lived on the most expensive street in the third precinct, and believe me, you get treated quite differently even as a white person than if you live in a semi-crummy apartment building. But what I wanted to comment on is a fairly narrow issue. As far as strategy after the looting started last night and the violence, you know, the mayor talked to the governor early in the evening. I don't know what went on in the conversation, but as a matter of strategy and controlling the situation, I think it was a mistake that the National Guard did not come in. I know the faith leaders around Minneapolis are saying they don't even want the National Guard today or tonight. But I think it was a mistake, and I just felt compelled to give my opinion on that. Thank you.
You bet, Julie. I don't know. My mentality about that, thanks, Patrick, is that whether or not the Minneapolis police was just overwhelmed and they couldn't deal with it, or whether or not the Minneapolis police was purposely just ignoring it and saying, let them burn. Conservative politicians in the state will love this. They'll be able to badmouth minorities out in their rural districts again. And they'll look at us and they'll validate the George Floyd killing because look what they have to deal with. So, of course, occasionally every once in a while someone has to die. But, you know, is that really, I mean, look what they're having to deal with. You know, I don't know, but I will say this. Clearly, the Minneapolis police were not doing their job. And they weren't doing their job last night. And there's a lot to this. As a matter of fact, we're going to take a break. Patrick, let's take a break. When we come on back, what we're going to do is I'm going to go through all the different elements that emerged in the last 24 hours on all sides of this, because it's not just protesters and looters and bad guys versus the Minneapolis cops. There's a lot of different elements here that we need to factor in to understand that this is becoming a much bigger mess. And if we don't get some real leadership, not some pity party for why don't they respect us more, unless we get some real leadership, we are going to have some bigger problems. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
Hi, everyone. Matt McNeil here. You might recognize my son, Charlie.
Hi, everyone.
Coronavirus has impacted us in many ways, but we at AM950 wanted to take time to recognize a group of people who are experiencing this crisis in a very different way, high school and college graduates.
I'm a member of the Hopkins High School class of 2020. Many in my grade were looking forward to ending out our senior year with a graduation ceremony. Unfortunately, all of the traditional events won't take place for my class.
Funny, they managed to get all the testing and finals in.
Yeah, all the fun stuff. Anyway, we understand no one can plan for a pandemic, and you have to make sacrifices for the common good. Considering many people are having a much harder time, the class of 2020 will manage. We'll miss the graduation experience, but we'll share this time as we head into the next chapter of our lives. Oh, and by the way, go Gophers.
On behalf of everyone at AM950, a big salute to all the graduates for 2020. We know this isn't how you envisioned this happening, but just because there's no grand ceremony doesn't mean we're not proud. You've accomplished so much. All our best as you take the next steps in your journey. Congratulations from AM950.
Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. Zero Res understands that to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, the CDC recommends cleaning carpets and hard surfaces where we live and work. And that's what they do best. Their zero contact protocol means their technicians will wear gloves and shoe covers, disinfect all equipment between jobs, and exercise social distancing while cleaning and sanitizing your home. Right now, Zero Res is offering 20% off all surfaces to AM950 listeners. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com and make sure you mention AM950 to get 20% off.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. So let's run down a few things that happened here. And I want to make, there we go. Thank you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I want to run through some of the things that have happened here because I think it's important for us to talk a little bit about what is going on here. And the first thing here is this, is I'm going to read just from the City Pages story on this. We're in the area trying to make sure people are safe and secure. St. Paul police dispatched about 40 officers to Minneapolis firefighters battling scattered blazes throughout the south side on Wednesday night. Officers since have returned to St. Paul. An untold number of arrests were made related to the riot. The National Guard was activated to back up police encircling the 3rd Precinct police station, which was further damaged by protesters early Wednesday in the site of the tense standoff between cops and protesters for much of the night. One man was shot and killed outside of Cadillac Pawn and Jewelry, the Star Tribune reported. Police spokesman John Elder said the reporters in the department is truly just beginning the investigation into the shooting death. The victim's name and age are not yet public, but they do want to say that John Riepel, R-I-E-P-L-E, 59, was listed on LinkedIn as Cadillac's business owner. He was arrested and booked into Hennepin County Jail on suspicion of murder at 2 a.m. last night. Businesses damaged or looted along Lake Street include Target, Cub Foods, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, and Aldi, as documented by independent journalist Tony Webster's Twitter survey of damage Thursday morning. An AutoZone store and the Dollar General were both set on fire. Minneapolis Police Chief Arundondo told Minnesota Public Radio to protest about Floyd's death have been hijacked by people engaging in criminal conduct. Mayor Jacob Frey, speaking to the Star Tribune, lamented seeing tragedy beget more tragedy and asked citizens to help us keep this peace. The Strib notes that more peaceful demonstration was held at 38th and Chicago, where Floyd was arrested and then suffocated. Other demonstrators went to the homes of Derek Chauvin and the now-fired Minneapolis cop recorded kneeling on Floyd's neck. And several minutes after he stopped moving, still others went to the home of Hennepin County Attorney Mike Freeman, whose office is considering criminal charges as well. Speaking earlier Wednesday, Frey asked about publicly why the officer had not been charged. If you had done it or I had done it, we'd both be behind bars right now. There are a lot of different sides to this right now. And that people want to, the narrative of the ignorant is it's just two sides. It's the cops versus protesters. But it's not. This is multi-layered. It is very thick. Now, let's start with the protesters. That's side one. Side one is the protesters. For the most part, they are just out there angry, frustrated. They are letting their presence be known. And they themselves are furious that yet another African-American man is dead at the hands of the Minneapolis Police Department. And they're vocal and they're loud and they might block a street or two, but they're not doing the crimes. The protesters, as a matter of fact, I've seen plenty of video footage of protesters themselves trying their hardest to stop the people who are doing the crimes. So there's one group, the protesters, who for the most part, outside of maybe a little bit of street blocking, they're not doing anything really in the illegal realm. Side two, the Minneapolis police. And like I said with Jack, I have more questions about what in the world happened last night than I did. I mean, it was bad. The Tuesday night stuff was really bad because they were indiscriminately firing into the crowd. They were not giving out any warning. They were targeting journalists. There was a, you know, they're all the enemy kind of mentality. Last night was very different. They basically surrounded their little fort, which was the third precinct, and they let everything else go. Now, and to give you an idea here, earlier today, someone mentioned on one of the live stream feeds that there was an attempt at some looting going on in St. Paul in the Midway Target there. Looters rushed the Target store on University Avenue. Officers responded in the area. Now, this is St. Paul. They responded in the area at about 11:30, found between 50 and 60 people grabbing merchandise off shelves without paying. St. Paul police spokesman Steve Linders said they dropped the goods and then ran when the authorities arrived. That's generally what does happen. Police get there, the looters drop their stuff, and they run and try to escape.
Rosedale shut down because they were afraid it was coming their direction. They're in Roseville.
Okay. Is that just someone calling that in?
No, there was a news report I saw earlier in the afternoon.
All right. Needless to say, but getting back to the police response here, specifically, you look at what's going on in St. Paul, and you look at the Midway area, and you look at the Target store that's happening there. That's what's supposed to happen. The St. Paul police show up, the looters go away. That's not what happened in Minneapolis last night. And which leads me to believe, and once again, and you're looking at, I think, a police department that basically their mentality was, we'll let the city burn, and then they'll come crawling back on their hands and knees to us. We'll show them by doing nothing. That's the way I took it. That's the way it seemed to be going to me, because they didn't seem to be trying to do anything to stop the chaos that was going on out there. The third group that we want to talk about are the criminals. Now, we've seen what they did. The looters, the arsonists, that was disturbing beyond disturbing. And they clearly, and this is not something new. This happens all the time. You get protesters and a criminal element will come out of the woodwork to use the protesters as cover to go on out and commit crimes. Whether that's looting, whether that's arson, whether that's vandalism, that's what happens. There had been some people, you know, a small group of contingents of people that were basically being vandals on the Tuesday night, but it was a small group. They organized last night. That is not the protesters. And only an ignorant fool would see someone who's carrying a sign upset about George Floyd's death and loop them in with a looter or an arsonist saying they're all the same. And the people that do this, and this is, I'll say this, it's generally conservatives and the media of this town who will loop those two groups together. They do so under the most racist kind of argument. Well, there are black people at the protest, and there are black people who are looting. They got to be working together. Stop it. Those are two separate groups. And we didn't have looters and arsonists on Tuesday night. They're there. And you better believe they're going to come back because they want to try to take advantage of this situation. So that's group three. Group four, other police officers. And as we mentioned with Jack Rice, St. Paul Police Chief Todd Axtell, he was on CNN and Thursday, and he's basically showing the officers footage from George Floyd's death as an example of how not to handle a suspect. In particular, Axtell told the CNN host that all the officers in his department said that, that the actions of the officers in Minneapolis to Floyd were completely unacceptable. Every police officer that I know that I've interacted with yesterday in the city of St. Paul, there was not one who felt that what they observed on that video in Minneapolis was in any way, shape, or form acceptable police behavior. It is disgusting. It is dehumanizing. It is something we absolutely have to stop. Axtell then issued a challenge to police officers across the country to remember that their purpose is to protect and serve the cities and communities. There you go. Is that that? I mean, I'm going to give kudos and a big round of applause to the St. Paul police chief, because I got to believe there's a lot of police officers in Minneapolis that are like, what in the hell? But because of rules or whatever, that they can't talk, they can't say anything, they refuse to say so. I know police officers in other jurisdictions in the state as well as out of state, and they've all said the same thing. What kind of idiot puts his knee on the back of someone's neck, and when that guy says, I can't breathe, not lift up his knee? So that is that. That's the craziness of it. So there's your fourth group. So let's once again, you got protesters, you got Minneapolis police, you got criminals trying to use the protesters as cover, you got the other police departments basically calling out the Minneapolis police for their behavior in the death of George Floyd. Let's go back to side number five, the Minneapolis politicians and Minnesota politicians for that matter. We need leadership right now, folks. And I understand it's not Jacob Frey, and there's issues in regards to what he can do, what the city council can do, but your city is somewhat spiraling out of control right now. It's spiraling out of control because you have a police department that needs to be reined in. A police department that's been enabled to do this by people who say, yeah, get tough on crime, do what you need to do, always back up the cop, never question what's going on. And the reality is that we need leaders that are going to step up and say, no, you're not going to be able to do this. If the St. Paul police chief can throw the Minneapolis Police Department under the bus in regards to their behavior, then the politicians who are watching their city burn, for goodness sakes, can do a better job of going on out there. And I understand you're in a tough situation, but there's right and wrong here. And this is not a difficult position to find. There's side five. Side five, the politicians. And there's a lot of state politicians. And, you know, Governor Walz's job is not necessarily to manage Minneapolis. Or Paul Gazelka, the Senate Majority Leader's job, is not necessarily to manage Minneapolis. The people whose job it is to manage Minneapolis need to start doing their job and do it better. Side five. Side six, Mike Freeman. Mike, I don't think I'm going out on a limb here and saying this, but your half-ass response to a slam dunk of a decision, you should have charged the officer with the crime, is adding to the tension and the hostility that we have going on right now in Minneapolis. Your, you know, lackadaisical mentality on this. And I know, Mike, you'll say, I'm dotting I's and crossing T's. Dude, charge him with the crime. I'm sorry you're buddies with these guys. You shouldn't be. The Hennepin County Attorney it's not your job to be the friend of the cops. It's your job to be the county attorney. And if you don't want that job, then resign and give it to someone else who does. But you have to have neutrality. And I have watched time and time again with these cases that have come up, a half-ass attempt by you at prosecution. And you just kind of shrug your shoulders. And what am I supposed to do? You know, really, it's hard to prosecute a cop. And I agree with Jack. I think you're waiting for the FBI to bail you out. Your leadership failure right now, you should resign. And put someone in there that can actually say, oh, well, yeah, that police officer killed that man. Let's charge them with the crime. That's side six. But then there's a side seven. Side seven is weird. And side seven is there's a guy, and I saw this video, was shared with me in the middle of the night, of a guy who was breaking the AutoZone windows at the AutoZone down by the third precinct. To my knowledge, this was the first real breaking into businesses, looting, stuff like this happening. This guy is wearing all black. You can see his eyes, but he's carrying an umbrella because apparently he doesn't want to be seen by drones or whatever. And you can see him, and through the numerous video shares I've had now on this issue, you can see him breaking the windows and running away. Now, whether he started AutoZone on fire remains to be seen, but he clearly is breaking the windows of the store. And the protesters, and this is why the protesters, they're not part of this. They're like, what are you doing, man? Stop it. And they went to confront him, and he basically threatened them and pushed the guy that was filming down. Since then, I've actually got reports that this might be the same guy that ran into the Care 11 reporter, might be the same guy that ran into the WCCO reporter. But there clearly is some sort of element, a seventh side, that is out there right now who is trying to use this for some goal, whether they're trying to make it look worse, whether, I mean, I've had people suggest it's a police officer in disguise that's just trying to keep the riots, get the riots going. I've had people talk about this Boogaloo boy stuff, that it's one of them that come into town, they're trying to get this stuff going. I don't know who it is, but there clearly is a person who doesn't seem to be a looter, and he doesn't seem to be a burglar. He's definitely not a protester, but yet he's putting forward an agenda which is definitely going against the betterment of the community. I have posted pictures on the Twitter feed and on the Facebook feed of this individual. I want to track this man down. He's broken the law. He busted all the windows in the AutoZone. We can charge him with a crime. But I want to find out who this person is, because this seventh side, I'm a little concerned what's really going on here in the city. I am. And I'm wondering what kind of undercurrents are actually flowing right now that are trying to use these protests as a way to push a far more nefarious agenda. Like I said, I just broke this stuff down for you. You're not going to get a seven-sided breakdown. Most media outlets are going to say, protesters, cops, protesters, cops. The reality is, this is a multi-nuanced situation we're in right now. And you have to address each individual group individually. But don't try to sit there and try to boil this down into them versus us, because you know what? Only ignorant fools do that. May God have mercy on Minneapolis. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come back. I got a Minnesota update on coronavirus when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
At Rudy Luther Toyota, the health and safety of their customers and employees is the top priority. They continue to take extreme precautions to keep everyone safe. Like many businesses in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota is starting to move forward. They have a huge selection of new and certified used Toyotas, and Toyota has announced 0% APR financing for up to 60 months for qualified buyers on several of their most popular models, like my favorite, the new RAV4. You can even take up to 90 days to make your first payment. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis, and online at rudyluther.com.
All Energy Solar is still committed to saving you on your next energy system through their zero-contact protocol. They can evaluate your property without visiting your home through calls and webinars. But incentive programs are expiring soon, so start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Minuteman Press Uptown is still open. It's printing everything. but they are taking some extra precautions. You can order by phone or online and do curbside pickup. Plus, they can help restaurants staying open with direct mail and geofencing. That's Minuteman Press Uptown.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Let's get into the coronavirus update. A new single-day record for Minnesota. 35 deaths associated with COVID-19 increased the toll to the pandemic in Minnesota to 967 people. The latest figures from the Minnesota Department of Health included 493 new lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19, which is caused by the novel coronavirus. The total case count, 22,947 in the state. The state also reported that 606 people were hospitalized, that 242 were in intensive care. That number is actually down a little bit, which is good. Long-term care or assisted living facility residents make up 787 of the total deaths. 27 of those reported to Thursday. Another two were reported Thursday morning, residents in behavioral health group homes. Deaths also are more common among people with underlying health conditions as well. The state reported 8,676 COVID-19 diagnostic tests were completed by public and private labs on Wednesday, a single-day record. Results continue to show an increasing risk of COVID-19 by age. Six deaths have been reported among 4,580 confirmed cases among Minnesotans in their 30s. Among the 1,171 cases involving people in their 80s, 331 were fatal. So, once again, it's still very serious out there. And a reminder, the reason why Minnesota looks like it's bad is because Minnesota is one of the few states that's actually testing people. Most of the other states, their argument is, if I plug my fingers in my ears and I close my eyes and I say, I can't hear you, well, then the disease goes away. No, that's not how it works. And so it's I will say we are down to only two counties in the state where they haven't had a case. One is Cook County, which is the very northeastern point of the Arrowhead, right as you get up to Canada there. And the other side is also in Canada. I think it's Lake of the Woods County, where Angle Inlet and those guys are. And I'm going to guess in both of those counties, there's probably like 4,000 people. There's not a lot of people in either one of them. But needless to say, those are the only two counties right now where there's not a case been reported. Wisconsin saw a record number of new coronavirus cases and deaths reported in a single day on Wednesday, 2 weeks after the state Supreme Court struck down the statewide stay-at-home order. The state reported 599 new known COVID-19 cases on Wednesday, with 22 known deaths, according to the Wisconsin Department of Health. The previous record for new coronavirus cases was 528 the week prior. Wisconsin issued a record number of test results Wednesday. Governor Tony Evers spoke of the importance of wearing a mask in public Wednesday to keep others safe. On May 13, Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's stay-at-home order under the pandemic as unlawful, invalid, and unenforceable after finding the state's health secretary exceeded her authority. The order had put Evers at odds with the state Republican-controlled legislature. If you're listening in Wisconsin, reminder, the reason why all these people are getting sick is because of the Wisconsin Republican Party. They're the ones that have done this. They're the ones that have made you sick. Also, story out, the Wisconsin State Fair has been canceled. To my knowledge, the Iowa State Fair, they still got a hope that they can put it on, but they're not going to be putting that on. Try to stay safe out there. Be safe tonight, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, see ya.